a tad. Hallelujah. That song right there, give me a little bit more, Vic. There you go, right there. Tell me, there you go. So that song right there, listen what it says. I will trust, someone say, in the Lord. And so I have a couple special announcements today. First of all, we are one more Sunday away from the change. You can kill everything else, Vic. One more Sunday away from the change. As Vic mentioned, we are preparing. Someone say preparing for transition. We are working on a contract with a new building. No reason to have secrets, amen. But we're working on a contract for the new building. Repairs should start, what, Benita? A couple of weeks, I guess? Probably, Benita? A couple of weeks, the repairs will start on the new building. So keep that in your prayers and continue to be faithful over your giving, because it's going to cost quite a bit of money. But we're going to be in a whole new building and our own building. And how many of y'all know that's exciting? Let's give God some praise. Amen. No more office suites. We actually are going to have our own building and our own bathroom and our own everything. Right, Ron? So thank you, Jesus. But and also, I want to give a shout out to one of my original associate pastors, Minister Michael Summerone, who's now Pastor Michael Summerone. He launched his first service today. We want to lift up his service today. You know, I think it's important, someone who's been your student for many years, as Minister Michael has. He finally, after 2 years, he left here about 2 years ago, but of course COVID hit and everything, but he called me yesterday, wanted prayer, because he's launching his new services today, so we want to lift up his church and his ministry today as well. And then, of course, we have just 2 Sundays left before the new year, and so we have a very special word for the new year. Someone keeps asking me, are we going to be in the building in the new year? Absolutely not. It'll be about a month or so after that, but someone say there is a change coming on 1/1/2023, so we will just let the Lord. But I was thinking about some things this week, and I was thinking about, with it only being 3 to 4 weeks left in the end of the year, sometimes we have to think that it's important to praise Him even when we don't feel like it. Anna? and the reason I say that, good morning, Richard, good morning, Joss. The reason I say that is because even if we are not happy with our circumstances, He is worthy of our praise. Because even though we're not getting what we want or what we need, someone say, He's still worthy of our praise. Because we're not praising Him, watch this, Elder Vic, we're not praising Him for the future things He's going to do, we're going to praise Him for what He's already done. Come on, somebody. See, we have to have the type of praise or the type of gratefulness for God, not for what He's about to do, but what, someone say, what He's already done. And this week, or this next couple of weeks, everyone's going to gather around and get family together, and that's one of the reasons why I decided not to have Christmas service on Christmas Day, because I think family's important, and maybe next year we'll do our full Christmas thing. And by the way, I want to mention the Center of Hope was extremely grateful for your giving. We had an awesome Center of Hope this past Tuesday, and we brought 2 big old bags of toys and gifts, and so give yourself a praise offering for that. Amen. So a little church being able to still give is important, and so they were grateful for that. So whoever gave to the Center of Hope, can you still give? Yes. Simply go to the Center of Hope up until Christmas. If you feel the Lord has placed something on your heart, just do me a favor when you get there. If you drop it off at the Center of Hope, just look them up at Union Gospel Mission on Center Street. If you drop something off, just, you know, just say it's in the name of the Life Worship Center, because we're one of the care providers there. And everything we did was from the Life Worship Center, correct, Benita? So if you want to do that, guys, the most important thing about the holiday season is being blessed, but more importantly, being blessed and be grateful for that you can do for somebody else, even if it's a little bit. So I would encourage you to give to the Center of Hope, the Union Gospel Mission. But as I was thinking this week about what does Christmas mean and how important Christmas is, I was thinking about how He's worthy of our praise even when we don't want to praise. Come on, somebody. We have a lot to be grateful for this year. This church does. There were times when businesses were shutting down, but we never did. Come on, somebody. In 2 years of COVID, this church, someone say, this little old church, in Grand Prairie, never shut down one time. We did have a COVID services for about 3-4 months. Just me and Ron would come, and during that time, we were actually increasing in church. We were getting more better equipment. We were getting professional cameras and everything else. And so I don't know about you, but we're grateful that God sustained us. How many of y'all are grateful that God sustained this church? Let's give him some praise right now for that. Amen. So he's worthy of our praise. And so I was thinking about that. So I want to first start off with the first scripture. If you have your Bibles, grab your Bible. If you don't have your Bibles, it's on the screen. But I want to read its entirety, the story of when this is known. This text this morning is actually known as the triumphal entry. This is what some people use for, you know, Good Sunday or the week before his arrival and everything. But I want to take some things out of this morning, because we have to understand that even though we don't understand the stuff we're going through, we still have to embrace that God is with us. So Luke 19:28, here's what it says. When he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he came near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olive, that he sent two of his disciples. Now watch this. Saying, go to the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus knows what he needs and what he wants. And he also knows what you need and what you want. So he tells the disciples, I want you to go to a certain village. And in that village, you will find a colt tied on which no man or no one has ever sat. Now, that's pretty crazy, right? How did Jesus know this? He said, loose it. Here it is. And someone say, bring it to me. And if anyone asks why you're loosening it, thus you shall say to him, because the Lord. Someone say, because the Lord has need of it. I want you to get that text right there. Because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he said to them. Now that's, someone say, that's crazy. But God knows what you have need before you ask of it. So very specifically, the instructions that Jesus gave, it was there just as he said to them. Now watch this. You've got to get into the text here in just a minute. Now watch this. But as they were loosening the colt, the owner of it said to them, why are you loosening the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. The owner never questioned. Let's go back. But as they were loosening the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosening the colt? Like, why are you taking my horse, my donkey, my colt? And he said to them, the Lord has need of it. Look at your neighbor and say, the Lord has need of you. Mm-hmm. See, oftentimes we don't understand why God will do certain things. It's because he has a need. Now watch this. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt. They set Jesus on him. And he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Now watch this. This is so important to the text. Then as he, now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice. Here it is. Someone say rejoice. And to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they have seen. Now look at this. Saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the highest. Now watch this. And some of the Pharisees, someone say the church folks, the religious crowd, some of the church folks, the religious crowd, called to him from the crowd, teacher, saying, teacher, rebuke your disciples. In other words, they were mad because the triumphal entry was about to happen, because they were about to lose power. Come on, somebody. You see, what happens is people, when they see Jesus in his glory, they begin to understand that they will lose power. Come on, somebody. So the Pharisees got mad. This is what the Bible says. And the Pharisees got mad and called him to the crowd, saying, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent," someone say the stones, "would immediately cry out." What is so significant about this day? What is so significant about this text? Is because Jesus knew about a week prior, he knew all along, but a week prior before his crucifixion, he knew that he was going to have to come and make what we call a triumphal entry to let people know that the end of tyranny, the end of what they thought was religion, what they thought was right, was coming to an end. And I want you to understand, anytime you stand up for Jesus, you're going to have an attack. Let me say it with you, church. Say, every time I stand for Christ, there's going to be an attack. It could be on your family. It could be on your job. It could be in your personal finances. Come on, somebody. But every time you stand for Christ, there's going to be pushback. Let's call it pushback. The reason being is because, watch this, because Jesus was about to become what he was supposed to become. You see, the whole thing is Jesus had to make the triumphal entry, and they had to know that he was about to become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords through his, what? Birth, burial, and resurrection. Come on, somebody. So someone say, through his birth, burial, and resurrection. And so when we talk about Christmas and we talk about the birth of Christ, okay, what we're talking about is the beginning of the journey. Someone say the beginning of the journey. You see, Jesus, watch this, church. Jesus is not looking for you to praise him when you got everything. He's looking for you to praise him when you don't. Come on, somebody. It's easy to praise him when you got money in the bank. Come on, somebody. It's easy to praise him when you got everything you need. Come on, somebody. It's easy to praise him when everything's going right, but he's looking for some radical praisers. Watch this. He's looking for people that will praise him. Watch this, church. That will praise him when you don't even have a reason to praise him. People look at you and say, "Why are you going to church? Everything you're going through, why are you going to church?" You need to tell them, "Because I have a reason to praise him. The reason I have a reason to praise him is because I still woke up this morning." Come on, somebody. See, my reason to praise him this year is not because of anything else other than I still have breath. Come on, somebody. We have to understand that we have to have an attitude of praise. Come on, somebody. Even when we don't feel, someone say, even when we don't feel like praising. Ask yourself a question. Say to yourself, say, self, why do I praise him? You can look around. Richard, how was living in the streets last night? You didn't have to, right? Why? You hear that? How did you get here? Come on, somebody. How did you put gas in that car? Where'd you get money from? Come on, Jocelyn. Where'd you get money from? From Richard, yeah. Where'd you get money from? No, it's from the job. Watch this. It's from what God has provided you. Come on, somebody. See, we think, watch this. We think praising him should be when we get a new car or when we praising him is just allowing him. He allows you to have the ability to go to work, to get that paycheck, to put gas in that car, to go be able to make money so you can praise him even more. You know, someone asked me today, said, "Pastor Mike, you don't even feel like celebrating." Listen to me, I was crazy. People said, "Pastor Mike, you didn't even fix up your townhouses for Christmas." Why? I'm the only one there. Why am I going to decorate it for my dogs? Yeah. No. I didn't put a tree up. I didn't put no lights up. I didn't do anything. Because you know why? That money could be used for other things. I'm going to come home and look at my own house and say, "Man, I did a good job. Don't you like it, Mike?" "Yeah, I love it. It's great." No. Sometimes we do things to impress people, but we ain't impressing God. Come on, somebody. This is not about how making yourself look good, but we need a point. Someone say, listen to me, where we're going, I'm just going to give you a little reveal. God gave me a revelation, okay? God gave me a revelation. Our new building is next to a blood donation center. Yeah, well, same thing. Plasma, okay, whatever. Someone say, blood donor saved my life. We're going to have an opportunity on Saturday right next to the plasma center to have care packages and give people information about our church. Come on, somebody. You don't understand. God is setting us up to prosper. Come on, somebody. He's putting us right on Carrier Parkway, right where everybody can see us, with a place that we can afford. Come on, somebody. And he's going to grow the church through outreach of people who are already around the church. All I need you to do is to work for it. Come on, somebody. But we don't understand that Jesus, here's what Jesus said. Listen to me, if you won't praise him, he'll find somebody else. Here's what he said. Read it, Elder Vic. What does it say? Yeah. I'm going to call myself out, right? I know I got a lot of Cowboy fans in this church and online. Okay? That's great that you're praising. But I don't care if my Broncos lose again today to Kansas City. I'm still going to praise my team because I'm a faithful follower of the Broncos. I'm still going to praise Jesus. Watch this. Even when things didn't turn out the way I want them to. Come on, somebody. See, God ain't looking for no fair-weathered fan. He's looking for someone who's going to be with him through the thick and thin. Come on, somebody. Can you still praise him when you don't have everything that you want? Come on, somebody. Can you still praise him when you're not where you need to be? He said to them, but he answered and said to them, I tell you that if you won't praise me, I'll get the rocks to cry out to me. Church, here's what Jesus wants you to do. Jesus in this season, and the season we're going into 2023, he's looking for a restoration of the church. Come on, somebody. The enemy had us locked up for 2 years with COVID. Someone said the excuses are over. Some people loved COVID because that was an excuse to stay away. Come on, somebody. But he said, I tell you, if you don't praise me, if you don't want to praise me and you want to keep silent, the very stones, someone said, the very stones will cry out. Look at your neighbor and say, please praise him. Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In other words, Jesus is the firstborn of God himself. He is the spotless lamb. He is the one that came into the world to relieve me of my sins. He is the one that gives me everything that I ask for. You got to praise him because without God and Jesus, you wouldn't even be here today. Oh, Pastor Mike, that's not true. Okay, let's do a genealogy. Who bore you? My mom and dad. Who bore them? Their mom and dad. Who bore them? Their mom and dad. Who bore them? Back. You can go all the way back to the beginning of time. And in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And out of him, he was the firstborn. Someone say the firstborn. Of what? All. Someone say all creation. So what, that person that you don't like down the road, he's still your brother and sister. Come on. See, Jocelyn said, no, trust me. If you trace it back to the beginning, you're part of the firstborn of all creation. So whether you like it or not, your bloodline still points back to God. So for those people who say, God never done nothing for me, yeah, he bore you. Well, I don't believe in all that stuff. You don't have to believe it or not, but it's the truth. Now watch this. Let me blow your mind. You don't go to your car this morning and get in the car before you turn it to pop the hood to see if the engine's there. You just got in and left. Why didn't you pop the hood to see if the engine's still there? Faith is what? Faith is the of things, but the evidence of things unseen. So you got in your car this morning to turn your car on in faith, hoping that it would start. Come on, somebody. Or hoping that that engine was there. Come on. Here's the thing that we struggle with. We will have more faith in things that we could see than things we can unsee. Okay? We trust in everything but God. Come on, somebody. We trust that he's going to, you know, we trust that car is going to get us here. And Victor, you know, Victor, I've told you guys before, Victor does a pre-road check. Because he's on an 80,000, is that what it is, Vic? 80,000 pound truck? And he has to, and look what it says. For by him, someone say, for by him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. Uh-oh, wait a minute. For those of you, if you're on earth, you're created by him. Atheist? Come on, somebody. Don't believe in God? Whatever your religion is, whatever. But according to the word, and seems that I don't have to believe in the word. Whether you believe it or not, let me tell you something. Everything that was created on heaven and on earth, visible, here it is, church, some visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. All things. But we have a problem, watch this. People in generally, here it is, church, have a problem because they don't want to associate themselves with God. Because God's never done nothing for me. Let me tell you something. If God has never done nothing for you, someone give me a dollar bill or something. Please, give me a dollar. Who's got cash on them? I don't care what it is. Just if it's over 20, I'm keeping it. Well, you'll get it back. Listen to Ron. You heard him? Make sure it's a small one. We don't mind having this. Come on, somebody. We'll take this. But on the back, in God we trust. You'll take it to spend it, but you don't understand where it came from. Okay, if you're that much against God, give me your money. Because you're taking something that you don't trust in. Oh, God. That's a good word, somebody. Well, how can you take something that you don't believe in? So for those online, our address is tlwclife.org. If you don't believe in money no more, there's an online portal. Amen. Send it all in. Amen. I know we're making fun, but I'm just telling you, we will take this because of, someone say, because of the value. We know we have, if we wanted to go to the store to get a sandwich or something, and it costs money. Really, this is just a piece of paper. But on our currency, in God we trust. I want you to, and I was looking this up last night, and I want you to look at that phrase, in God. Someone say, in God. Not out of God, not beside God, not below God, but someone say, in God, we trust. So basically we're saying, God, we trust you to give us more. Someone say, good point. So this is $10. The Bible says we're supposed to give 10% of everything we have. Come on, somebody. It's a teaching moment, okay? So if you have $10, how much you owe God? How much you owe God, Vic? $1. And it's easy to trust him with a dollar. But what if this was $100,000? It'd be how much? That's a lot of money. I could do the dollar, but I can't do $10,000. Why? It's still the same principle. That what a man sows, he reaps. Come on, you can give him a praise for that. Come on, somebody. The problem is, as it gets more and more and more, and he blesses you more and more and more, we become less dependent on God and more dependent on the face value. My God, that's a good word. Come on, somebody. Because if we had trusted in him with everything we receive, I'm not talking about money, I'm talking about our time, our houses, everything. He's worthy of our praise because if we can trust him over the little things, watch this, Anna, he'll make us ruler over much. Come on, somebody. I appreciate it. God is good, right? Let's have a good day. That's a way to make $10 an hour right there. Oh, Jesus. But watch this. Do we have a reason to praise him? You have a reason to praise him, not because of the money, not because of the house, not because of the cars, not because of anything else, because the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. Come on, somebody. If he's given you breath this morning, you should wake up and praise him. Look what the Bible says, church. And he is what? Someone say all things. Listen to me. If your wife is more important than your God, you're wrong. If your dog is more important than your God, you're wrong. If your children is more important than your God, you're wrong. Because that's not how the Bible says. The Bible says God is before what? All things. And him, all things consist. In other words, it should be your God, your spouse, your children, then everything else. And sometimes we don't get it, church. Listen to me. It's not that you're not obeying God. It's that you got your priorities messed up. Come on, somebody. Someone say, get your life in order and watch what he does. But you have to learn to praise him where you are. Everybody has a reason to praise him. Just some of us choose to praise him a little bit more. Watch this. Someone's saying, he is the head of the body. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have what? The preeminence. What does that word mean? Very first. Preeminence of everything. He should, watch this, be the first and the last. Watch this. We would look pretty silly this morning, wouldn't we, Vic? If we put our undergarments over our outgarments. I'm going to do it one day. You watch for an illustration. I'm going to come in with my under stuff on the outside. People, let me move to home. You pass my. Well, it doesn't matter how it goes. No, it does matter, because guess what? Sometimes we put stuff on wrong. It wouldn't make no sense to put my socks over my shoes. Because guess what? Socks are to protect your feet as they go in your shoes. Come on, somebody. But no, some of us don't understand that there is an order. Someone say, there is an order for everything. All right, watch this. As he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the what? Preeminence. Someone say, a reason to praise. This is so good. Watch this. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness shall dwell. Watch this, church. And by him to what? Reconcile. I'm right now, I'm doing a lot of the church work, office work, and getting. And so the other day I was checking the church finances and getting everything ready for the move and what it's going to take. And I was also catching up some of the giving. And so I had to reconcile. Watch this. We have an online platform for our giving. It's what we do to put in tithes and offerings and everything. And so it's really crazy. So on one of the buttons, I wanted to see where our giving was for the year, and there's a button that says reconcile. What that does is it puts everything in together to see where everybody is, because I'll be giving your statements the first week of January. And so with this program, it reconciles the year. In other words, And I know there's going to be those people who come up to me, Pastor Mike, that's not what I gave. Listen to me. If you say you gave something but didn't put your name on it, guess what? I can't do nothing for you. I can only do what I see. Come on, somebody. And so the word reconcile means that everything comes back together. Come on, somebody. Some of you, the reason why you had NSF fees is because you don't reconcile your checking book. Because guess what? You might have $1,150 in your account, but you spent $900, but you didn't... but you forgot to deduct. Come on, somebody. Reconcile means that everything comes back in order and everything is, watch, put in place. Look, this is so good. everything is reconciled, all things to himself by him, whether things on earth, someone say on earth, or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Listen to me. In 2023, I'm going to be a different type of preacher. Let me tell you something. I could lead people to the cross, but I can't make them stay. Come on, somebody. People ask me, why am I going through stuff? I'm going to say three things. Do you love Jesus? Do you give your life to him? And most importantly, do you live for him? Come on, somebody. Besides that, I can't help you, because that's what works for me. And I need to tell you the truth is, a lot of us will deny the fact, watch this, church, of this next part of this text. This is so important. Look at this. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace, someone say peace, through the blood of his cross. Come on, somebody. First key point, the supremacy of Christ. Someone say Jesus is God. You cannot separate the two. There are three in the deity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. What is the supremacy of Christ? That means he is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Listen to me. I have a reason to praise him, because this year I have life. Come on, somebody. That could have been my checkout time. You know, the Bible says we don't know when our last day on earth is. Okay? Y'all let me feel you right now, okay? I knew something was wrong prior to my heart attack. I knew something was wrong, but I ignored the signs. Okay? What I to put off as indigestion was simply signs of a heart attack coming on. Okay? Everyone told me, you need to lose weight, Pastor Mike. No, I don't. I'm feeling good. 14, 15, 16 hour days. I had expanded up to 295 pounds. Y'all, I weighed myself this morning, 274 pounds. Come on, give God praise for that. Amen. I'm in a shirt today that's not even a 3X, it's a 2X. Come on, somebody. I'm in some jeans I've never worn for a couple of months. Come on, somebody. And I feel 100% better. Come on, somebody. But watch this. I couldn't hear everybody else until God put me on my back. Come on, somebody. You can talk to your blue in the face, but until God does something, come on, church. And I've learned that, guess what? If I don't take care of myself, no one will. Amen, Jaws? If I don't take care of myself, no one. But the supremacy of Christ has to know that you have to know beyond a shadow of doubt that Jesus is God. Jesus is not a religion. Jesus is not a movement. Jesus is your personal way to heaven. Come on, somebody. Say, Jesus is my personal way to heaven. Watch this. When he says he is the image of an invisible God, watch this. This is so important. In the beginning, someone say, in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Come on, somebody. Now look at this. He was in the beginning. Someone say, he was in the beginning with God. Now watch this. Read that, Richard. All things were made. Oh, wait. Hold on. This mic I'm on this morning, who made it? Come on, somebody. Let's see. Come on, keep going. You're there, Rich. It's actually called, what is this mic called? What's this brand? Sure. Sure headset wireless mic, okay? And yes, it was made by that factory and made by the person, but what I'm trying to understand is everything that this world created, God had to put into somebody's mind to create it. Come on, somebody. We live in a society today that even now you can order something on Amazon this morning and get it this afternoon. Oh, there must be an Amazon lady in the house. Come on. Watch this. We live in a society that if we don't want to go grocery shopping, Aston, we don't have to. We can actually shop online. What was really crazy is I had to go to CVS.com last night, and I noticed I only have 5 days left of my prescriptions. Don't want to run out of my prescription, baby girl. Amen. So I got on CVS, and I hit the refill button for all my prescriptions. And when I got done a prescription, it says, would you like these delivered or you want to pick them up? I'm like, what? They can deliver prescriptions to my house? For a delivery fee, of course. I said, no, CVS is right by the church. I'll pick them up on my way out of church. Come on, somebody. But what I'm saying is we live in a microwave society that whatever you need, whatever you want, not even church, come on, somebody, you don't even have to go to church. You can, oh, God, it's 10:25. Pastor Mike's about to be on. Give him my phone. I need to watch this. We live in a society that all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. We live in a society that whatever we can think it, it shall be. I'm not a nerd, but watch this. I like watching that show, Lego Masters. Have you ever seen that show, Lego Masters? Okay, it's really cool. They can create whatever they have this thing. And the other day they created, it was NASCAR, so they actually had to create a little NASCAR. And okay, I thought to myself, who gives them the mind to create that? From Legos, y'all. And I thought to myself, that is an amazing, watch this. And you know what I've heard? I don't know if you've heard this, Vic, Elder Vic, but I even heard that we don't even use the full capacity of our brain. Who's ever heard that before? Like we don't even have the full capacity to use our mind of what God really has poured into us. So the thing about it is, when it says he thinks all things were created through him, without him nothing was made that was made, here's what he's saying. Look at his next verse. In him was life. And the life was the light of the men. Look at this. Someone say, in him was life. And here's the most important part, the last part. And the light shines in the darkness. Watch this. And the darkness did not comprehend it. In other words, the darkness has to flee in the presence of the Lord. I tell people all the time, you are only as strong as you want to be. Say it with me. Say, I'm only as strong as I want to be. The Bible says, resist the devil and he shall flee. If you give in, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. The Bible says, resist, 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 resist. Elder Vic's message last week was what? What was your message? I know what it was. Will you stand? Stand for what? Stand on whatever, right? It doesn't matter. Listen to me. One thing I will never be accused of is I will not be ashamed to praise my God. Come on, somebody. I'm going to praise him even in my circumstances. Come on, church. And the light shines in the darkness. Watch this. And the darkness. Listen to me. We're not religious. We're Jesus. Come on, somebody. This church is going to grow by you. Listen to me. I want you to start doing this. Listen to me. If you're on Facebook, raise your hand. Okay. I want you starting today. Someone say starting today. I want you to send our link to all your friends. Starting today. That's my assignment. Anna, how many friends you got on Facebook? Give me a number. 30. Elder Vic? 50? There's our avenue right there. Amen. Ron? Aston? Just give me a number. Low number. There's our other number. Okay. If he takes our link, watch this. 20. If he takes our, watch this. If he's not ashamed of the gospel in Jesus, if he takes our link and forwards it to his friends, my God. You see what I'm getting at? Yeah. And even if they text us and say, you go to that church? Yeah, I go to that church, but it's not what you think. It's cool, man. The pastor down there, he's OG, bro. See, he said, I will make you fishers of men. It's not Aston's job to clean it up. It's Aston's job to get him here. It's not Richard's job to clean him up. It's his job to get him here. He said, I will make you, my God, this is so good to me right now. I'll make you fishers of men. We talk about how we're going to grow the church. We ain't got the money. We don't need the money. We got the people. Send the link out of our church, especially 1-1-2023. I want everybody in the house on 1-1-2023 because I'm going to preach out of my mind. Come on. All it takes is 20,000 feeds. Come on, somebody. You know how Stephen Furtick and T.D. Jakes and all that. You think, oh, they had the money just to grow the church. No, they didn't. T.D. Jakes and Elevation Worship and all of them, don't tell me. Stephen Furtick started his church in a library in college. North Carolina. He rented the library. And people heard about him. And then people started sending out the links of his services. And then someone said, hey, I needed that word. Where's this place at? See, the problem is, it's not can we grow the church. Do you want to? My God. No, let Pastor Mike do it. He's been doing it. No, it's not about Pastor Mike. It's about my flock. Come on, somebody. I got 20,000 members right there. Pastor Mike, they're not all coming. You can believe that if you want, but I believe by faith. Come on, somebody. Without faith. Without faith. Someone say without faith. See, that's why we have a reason to praise him. Because I told y'all, when we get into the new building, there's going to be an opportunity to evangelize and outreach. Is it going to take time? Is it going to take money? Yes. But I will guarantee you the rewards are heavenly. Come on. How would you feel, Aston, if one of your dearest friends that you know needs Jesus comes to the saving knowledge of Christ? How would that make you feel? Really good. He ain't no preacher. But guess what? He's a disciple of Christ. Someone say the light shines in the darkness. What the biggest problem in church today is, church, it won't make a difference. That's what we think. Church, one can chase 1,000. Two can put 10,000 to flight. This right here. This brother right here. I kept on and on and on and on. And I'm going to tell you, Victor ran a long time from the Lord. I ain't got time. I got my own life going on. I got things I got to do. And God kept pruning him and molding him and shaping him and doing things. And now, Victor said, okay, Lord, I submit to your will. See, we have a reason to praise him. Look at this church. And the word became what? And dwelt among us. We're going to celebrate the birth of Christ in a couple weeks. So we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We are going to celebrate the fact that we are serving a risen King. He came in the form of flesh. He came in the form of a baby. And guess what? He grew up 33 years. Jesus served people. Come on, somebody. 33 years he served faithfully. Come on, somebody. 33 years his ministry, and he served faithfully until the Lord said it was time to go home. Watch this. He is the Word. Someone say, he is the Word. And John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. This is so good. Watch this. And of his fullness we have received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And watch this. No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Watch this. Number two. Crown him with many crowns. Jesus is the Creator. Let me tell you something. When Jesus comes back, he's not coming back as a weak person. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is already preparing time for when he will return. Come on, somebody. The Bible says he don't even know when he's coming back. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, and Jesus is up there, basically, make it very simple in the text. He's sitting next to the Father, just waiting patiently until the Father says, let's go get him. Come on, somebody. And the Bible says that when he returns, all of heaven will follow him. My God, can you imagine that? All of heaven will follow him. And he's going to reign on earth. And then guess what? You won't need that Amazon. She ain't in here, but she won't need Amazon. Come on, somebody. Crown him with many crowns. Jesus is Creator. Someone say we have a reason to praise him. Why do we praise him? Not because of what? Let me tell you something. We got to change our mindset. I praise him because I want something. Don't praise him because you want something. Praise him because you're grateful for what he's already done. Come on, somebody. Someone say, praise him for what he's already done. Listen to me. Faith is not already having something. Faith is believing that God can and God will. Let me say it again. Faith, someone say faith, is not believing you already have it. But faith is believing that it's coming. Come on, somebody. Because he says, without faith, someone say, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He's crowned with many crowns. Jesus is the creator. He is the creator of everything. Watch this, church. Number three, read that, Elder Ron. Sustainer. Crown him with what? With almighty. He is the ruler and the sustainer. Let's talk about that for a sec before we get to the end. Someone say ruler and sustainer. See, we always pray that God, I need an increase. Why don't you pray God sustain me? Come on. Let me share this with you. Not only is he a ruler, but he's a sustainer. The word sustainer means he takes care of you. Y'all watch this. Someone say, watch this. I've worked five hospice companies for the last 2 years. Okay? I am probably on the 15th. The powers that be are coming into town from Care Hospice on the 15th for the Christmas party for Alpha and Omega. I am very close, and I say very close, it's probably already going to happen because she sent me an email, of being full-time with one company with health insurance, 401k, come on somebody, all the benefits, plus I will make in 1 week what I made for five companies. Come on, somebody. 1 week for five companies. And I was thinking about that. I said, because of the faithfulness of God, watch this, he is my ruler, but now he's going to be my sustainer. God said, I'm not going to make you work that hard no more, Pastor Mike. I'm going to let you release. And Ron knows, I almost did it Friday or Thursday. Super close. But I'm just waiting for that full-time status. Okay, but God said, I will sustain your needs according to the riches and glory which is in Christ Jesus. And so God said, what I'm going to do, sir, for you is I'm about to let you make more money with less work. Come on, somebody. He's my sustainer. In other words, I'm just going to have to get 40 hours to one company and be done with it. Come on, somebody. Instead of driving, and I'll have a designated area, Mansfield, Arlington, and Fort Worth. No more North Dallas, no more Kaufman, no more, just one area. Come on, somebody. And the thing I want you to understand is, why is God doing this? Is because three reasons. One, I'm faithful to his ministry and his word. Two, I'm definitely faithful over my tithes. And number three, I trust in his plan and not mine. Come on, somebody. I trust in his plan. Watch this. Psalms 97:1, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad. Watch this. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Look at this. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies around about him. His lightning light the world, the earth sees and trembles. Look at this. Mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Final verse, the heavens declare. Someone say, the heavens declare. His righteousness, all the people, and that's why I wanted to title this, will see his glory. Someone say, he is everything. And the last point that I want to bring up today is what me and Elder Ron deal with every day. Jesus even rules over death. You see, we ask ourselves, why do people die? It's because we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Someone say, death is not the end. It's just a bend. Those who are in Christ Jesus, listen to what the word says. The word says, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? This week, like every week, I've had an astronomical amount of deaths. And it's really weird because it just seems like during the holidays, we have a lot of deaths with hospice. And I think to myself, death is a reality. But on the other side, come on somebody, is the glory. See, we should even have a reason to praise him in death. Because if you have a loved one that is riddled with cancer and is in pain and is struggling, do you want that loved one to live like that? I don't. But death is a reality. Someone say death is a reality. But it's not the end for us that believe in Christ. Come on, somebody. That's why we have to give him all the praise. Watch this. My last point is this. This year, as often, we'll sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Right? Silent night. That's why I'm not on the praise team. Holy. We'll sing all of these songs. But do we understand the true meaning of them? We don't have to we don't have to say that it's not because of his birth. It's because he lives. Come on, somebody. Someone say, with no birth, there's no life. We live for him every day. We celebrate the birth of Christ, but Christmas should be in our heart every day. We should have a spirit of praise. An anticipation that we praise him because of who he is. He's worthy of the praise. Let me give you some examples. Victor, I wrote some things down. You almost got hit by that car that night. Is he worthy of the praise? Benita, I wrote it down. He sustained you when you couldn't sustain yourself. Is he worthy of the praise? Anna, he's brought you a mighty long way. Even with everything you're still going through, is he worthy of the praise? Ron, lost your career. Didn't have a job. Didn't know what you're going to do. Now you're getting busier than you've ever been. Is he worthy of the praise? Glow, you and both your husband were unemployed. Now he's made a way where you don't have to work except be in charge of him. Is he worthy of the praise? Jocelyn, Richard, I know he's brought you through a lot of things. God brought you two together for a reason. I know sometimes we don't understand it, but he did. Amen. Someone say he's worthy of the praise. I suffered a double heart attack 3 weeks ago. He could have took me out, but he didn't. He's worthy of the praise. You see, there's a lot of things that we don't understand. There's a lot of things that we don't look at and we don't understand. Oh, Christmas time in this. No. I want you to do me a favor as we get closer to the end of the year and get closer to Christmas. I want you to think about how important it is to be in his presence. How important is it to give him the praise when you don't have what you want? I want you to think about how important it is that you know what, man, I can't stand where I live, but thank God I have a roof over my head. I don't like the car I have, but at least you got me here. I can't stand my job, but I like that paycheck. We so often forget that he doesn't have to do it, but he does. Come on, somebody. We're two services away from changing all we've known for the last 20-something years. And it's not because it's time for a new beginning and all that religious stuff. It's just time to move where God wants us to go. Because guess what, church? I'm still going to praise him anyhow. Not for what he's about to do. He's going to do it anyways, Aston. The Bible says it's not can God bless you, it's can you be trusted with a blessing. God can bless, We say it all the time. God bless. God bless. Well, God bless you and your family. What does that phrase mean? God bless. That means God's going to bless you. But we have to get in the mindset that we have to come in this place and we have to know that he's worthy of our praise. Let me tell you something I'm grateful for. When I was in the hospital, I woke up 3 times. Couldn't breathe. Air took my lungs. They come in and they said, we think you suffer from OSD, obstructive sleep disorder. Sleep apnea. Went home, and I was full of anxiety, Glo. I better call you one night, tell you to come over here and lay. I did not want to go to sleep, because every time I go to sleep, guess what? I'm afraid I won't wake up. Seven months ago, I bought an adjustable bed. I don't know why. Just decided when I got into the new place, I'm going to get an adjustable bed. Can raise your head and raise your feet. Thought to myself, I don't really need to spend that much money on an adjustable bed. What's it going to be good for? I don't sleep like that. I'm in the hospital. And I said, and I started feeling better, and they adjusted my head and stuff. And the doctor said, I said, how come I'm not waking up no more? He goes, well, you're in an adjustable bed. He goes, Mr. Morris, I think you need to get an adjustable bed. I said, it's funny, doc. Up till I had my heart attack, I always laid flat. But then I go to my remote control for my bed, and it says zero gravity. Zero gravity means you push one button, and it elevates your head, and it elevates your feet to where you have flowing. And I thought to myself, how good God is. He knew 8 months ago that I would need an adjustable bed. Y'all, I haven't woken up one time. Come on, somebody, give God praise. Amen. I'm not even going to have to take a sleep study no more. I go to bed at night and I sleep fine. I'm like this. I'm like, you know, you know what I mean? Like my feet are up and it's okay. And I'm getting used to sleeping like a taco, I guess. I take my meds regularly. And it's what we thought it was going to be, it's not always what you think it's going to be, church. Life is, my God, this is good. Life is full of adjustments, church. And it's not that anything's wrong. You just have to adjust your life for the season that you're in. We are in a season in this church that we're making adjustments. And I know God's got a harvest waiting for us. Because you know why? I drove by the building the other day. And I said, Lord, why here? He said, look around. And it was on a Sunday. I left here and went over there just to get a mindset of what we're looking at. There's people going in and out of that plasma donation center. There's full of people in that shopping center. And you know what he told me, Elder Vic and Elder Ron? The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. You have not, because you ask not. And when you ask him this. We have been a secret for the last 2 years, but now we're about to be public. Come on, somebody. God is putting us right in front of our harvest field. And if we don't take the opportunity to use that harvest field, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. I want us to get in the mindset to say he's worthy of our praise. Instead of arguing and complaining and murmuring, listen to me. Walk away from the situation. Just walk away. I'm in my own battle right now with my son. My son's in the hospital right now with his mental illness. I came to the place the other day. I said, you got to go. And they came and picked him up. Second time he's been back there. This time he's going to stay a little bit lengthier stay. And sometimes you have to let things go in order for things to get fixed. Come on, somebody. It doesn't mean I love my son any less. But I love him enough for him to get the help that he needs. Come on, somebody. Is he worthy of our praise? Let me ask you a question. Is he worthy of our praise? Next week, someone say next week, is the final service of the year for this church. And I really mean that literally, for this church is the final service next week. Are we going to show up? Are we going to praise him? I don't know what you're facing, and I don't know what you're going through, but listen to me. Do something for the end of the year that's going to catapult you into the new year. Do something in the new year that's going to sustain you for the year. Because God is faithful. Just for the sake of the text as I close, do me a favor. Say this with me, church. Say, he is worthy of my praise. Even when I don't see it, he's worthy of the praise. I have here the email for the new building and the contract that I signed. I'm standing on his promise. Come on, somebody. Because everything that's in those papers is the new beginning. But someone say, we're putting it under the word. And we're standing on the promises of God. And for Christ we live. And for Christ we die. See, I don't understand what you understand. He's worthy of the praise. I want you to do something this morning. If you have something that you need God to do, and you need God to do it before the end of the year, my God, I feel this thing, Elder Vic, I want you to come with that thought right now and stand on the word of God. Come on, if it's for a loved one, I don't care. If you have something that you need God to do in 2023, I want you to stand on his word. Go ahead, you talk to him right now. Stand on his word. Thank you, Jesus. You're standing on his word. And the promises of God are yes and amen. It's okay. You can do one if you want. Just stand on his word. Thank you, Jesus. This is a moment in our ministry. I don't need to pray for you. But you got to tell God, you got to stand on his word. People say, that's disrespectful. No, it's the word of God, and we're standing on the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. We're standing on his promises, because the promises of God. Is he worthy of the praise, church? Come on. Is he worthy of the praise? Give him a shout right now. If he's worthy of it, shout like you already have it right now. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. Is he worthy of the praise right now? Standing on the promises of God. He's worthy of the praise. He's worthy of the praise. He's worthy of the praise. God, we thank you right now. You're worthy of the praise. If you're going to come, you can make a line right behind Anna, so I'll know how many we have left. Thank you, Jesus. He's worthy of the praise. He's worthy of the praise. Elder, I don't know why, but the Holy Spirit, come on, Anna, said you got to share something. I don't know what it is. I'm just obeying, but you're going to close us out today because there's something the Holy Spirit told me. You got to share something. I don't know what it is. You know what it is? You didn't tell me anything, did you? But the Holy Spirit kept tugging on me and said, let the boy speak. So if you have something you got to promise God and something you need before the end of the year, I want you to stand on his word. Standing on his word. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. God cannot fail, church. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Come on, Aston. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy. There's our 20,000 new members right there. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Anyone else? anyone else before Elder Vic comes. Can we give him a praise for his word this morning? Come on, can we give him a praise for his word this morning? Come on, Elder Vic.